Whether you're a fan of bourbon, scotch, tequila, rum, gin, whatever it is, VSLiquor.com has you covered. And here's the best part. Don't leave your home. VSLiquor.com is the most reliable alcohol delivery there is. Make sure to type in the code SPORTS when you check out, and you'll get 15% off your initial order. VSLiquor.com, proud partner of the Sliwa Show. Hi, Mario, don't call me out, all right? I'm still doing keto. Maybe I could watch other people eat some fantastic cheeseburgers and a slice of pizza. LA, appreciate you guys tuning in. We go till 9 o'clock tonight. Can't tell you how much I'm looking forward to tonight's show. Got Brad Turner with me from the LA Times from 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. And then also, as I have in the background right now, I'm watching some MLS Seattle versus San Jose. We know what a big game we got coming up on Monday for LAFC. Adrian Garcia Marquez, who handles LAFC pre and post game for this upcoming Monday, he'll join the show. We'll talk a little. We'll talk a little soccer. We'll also talk some Lakers basketball. Adrian and I go way back, and we've had plenty of conversations talking Lakers basketball at Staples Center. Let me start with this. Big news from the Pac-12. This coming off the news from the Big Ten yesterday. So the Pac-12 will play conference-only schedule. This is big. By the way, I think all the conferences are going to end up following. And, you know, I think this is one of those predicaments and situations where college football doesn't have a choice. They are either going to adjust to, you know, obviously what's happening in the country. They're going to keep in close consideration student athletes and everybody that's involved in these schools. But yesterday I was having a great conversation. Heather Dinich covers college football for ESPN. I kept kind of asking her, and every question that I had for her, I tried, finding a way to localize it. Okay, well, what about USC, UCLA? What about the Pac-12? Do you think the other power conferences, the Power Five conferences, are going to follow what the Big Ten did? And then just a couple hours ago, you know, Jesse obviously produces the show, sends me a text. He's like, bam, there it is. Plus, I heard Mason Island talking a little bit about it as well. So what does this mean? Pac-12 will play a conference-only schedule. We'll obviously keep it local. UCLA was going to play New Mexico State on August 29th. USC had a game with Alabama on September 5th. They also had a game against Notre Dame. So you can pretty much count those games out. So whatever the schedule looks like right now, I'm sure there's going to be adjustments. And this is just kind of the state that we're living in. By the way, for so much of the last 3 months, we hadn't talked about college football. We hadn't talked about the NFL. When I say we didn't need to, it's not that we didn't need to talk about those sports. They just weren't in line yet. You know, we were still trying to figure out, all right, is basketball going to get a chance to restart their season? We know where the NBA is right now. Every day you're kind of cautiously optimistic looking at that date coming up for the Lakers at the end of July where that restart starts. You're playing the Clippers. You got 8 regular season games, and then hopefully you go on a long playoff run. So we know that's there. All the details are there. Major League Baseball, we know exactly what the Dodgers are doing. We know exactly what the Angels are doing. We know that 20 of their games are going to be versus the NL West, or 20 of their games are going to be against the AL West, and 40 of their games will be against the NL West. And we know just exactly what's in front of the Dodgers, what's in front of the Angels, this upcoming season and what that structure looks like. Now it's time to start talking college football, and it's time to start talking NFL. And I think that's going to take place over the next 30 days or so, where we're just going to continue to learn. All right, well, whatever the schedule was for USC, whatever the schedule was for UCLA, put it out to the side. Don't pay attention to it now, because there's going to be changes that come with college football. I'm going to read a quick statement from Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott, who was on earlier this week, or was last week, with I think at the time it was Brian Kamenitsky and Mace on the Mason Island show. Here's what Larry Scott said. He said, "Our decisions have and will be guided by science and data, and based upon the trends and indicators over the past days, it has become clear that we need to provide ourselves with maximum flexibility to the schedule and to delay any movement to the next phase of return to play activities." College football is a tough one for me, because college sports in general is very tough for me when I have the conversation when it comes to a restart. I'm a sports fan. I mean, yesterday I kept talking about how exciting it is to watch Pac-12 football, I highlight how great are some of those games. They're 7:30 games, and it's Oregon versus Stanford, or it's Stanford versus USC, whatever it is, right? Like, obviously these Pac-12 games There's nothing better than watching Pac-12 football on a Saturday night. But here's the reality. I feel for these student athletes. You know, a couple weeks ago when it came out that some of the UCLA football players, they wanted a third party to determine if it's safe to play, if it's not safe to play. I understand where they're coming from. They're not represented by a union. There isn't a players association like we talk about with Chris Paul and Michelle Roberts for the NBA or Tony Clark for Major League Baseball. They don't have that. Okay, so who's going to represent them? Who's going to make sure that what they're doing is the right thing to do and that it's safe to do? Paul Feinbaum, who you know we know is as big of a college football as far as analysis goes, and you know does a great radio show that really specifically focuses on the SEC, so it doesn't get any bigger than that. Paul Feinbaum earlier today on GetUp was talking specifically about where we are with football. Should they be playing? Here's Paul Feinbaum, and I want to comment afterwards because Ireland made a point earlier in their show about I'm okay with all these sports at least trying it. Here's a college football insider, Paul Feinbaum on GetUp.
I mean, I'm just laughing listening to Bill Hancock talking about, you know, we haven't altered our protocol. We don't know whether we'll have a college football season. We don't know anything. But the one thing about the college football playoff, Ryan, they're staying pat. They're not about to change. I mean, the truth is you watch the season with your own eyes and those 13 people presumably will sit in that room, if that's even humanly possible, in Dallas and make determinations. But what if we have the season, they lose some of the most important elements, those non-conference games. I mean, a lot of schools have gotten into the playoffs simply by winning or even competing in a major non-conference game. Without that, they have their hands full.
All right, I'll ask this question, and you know, I want to get as many listeners out there that you're an SC fan, you're a UCLA fan, you're passionate about college football, or you just have a take on this. Do you want to see college football this year? Do you want to see college football this fall? Do you think college football should play? And do you kind of look at things a little bit different because these are student athletes? They're not getting compensated. They're not getting paid millions of dollars to say, all right, we'll go down to Orlando. We'll be in this bubble. We know we're obviously doing it because we got a check coming. And that's not me devaluing the importance of a scholarship. But this is different. Professional players are professional players. Student athletes are student athletes. If you have a take on this, do you want to see college football? Do you think it's fair to even think or consider playing college football this upcoming fall? 877-710-ESPN. You could let me know what you think. I'll give you – my thought would be this. One of the things that John has highlighted a couple times, and you know, I've kind of piggybacked off of this – I have no problem with all these sports trying what they're doing. And when I do say that I'm a little bit more sensitive to college athletics, I mean it. And I mean it because of the student athletes. But this is going to, I think, be the theme. If you don't try, if you don't at least try to see if your sport can put on this MLS tournament, or you don't even try to see if NBA can put together this Orlando bubble or Major League Baseball, reduce their season just to 60 games and they keep it within their two divisions. If you don't try, I don't know if anything's going to change in 2 months. I don't know if anything's going to change in 4 months, 6 months. So I say that because every business, every corporation, and it doesn't matter, you know, what it is. You could be a restaurant, you could be running a sports radio station, you could be a dry cleaner, whatever it is that you know you do for a living. At some point, you have to try and see if you can open up your business again. And I don't think these sports leagues are any different. So I'm under a similar mindset when it comes to that. I got no problem with any of these leagues at least trying to see if they can make it happen. Because hypothetically, let's say Major League Baseball, let's say they were able to make it work and they did salvage the season. And it was something where fans, again, got to enjoy and appreciate the game of baseball. And it actually became a positive thing. And these players eventually got paid and got a chance to take care of their families and everybody else that's affiliated with the sport. And like I mentioned, fans have the ability now to, I don't want to say distract themselves, but at least kind of get away from some of the stuff that's going on. Or it's all just kind of lumped in together. I like the concept of at least trying. And then at the end of the day, if it doesn't work, or you deem that it's not safe, or the virus got inside the NBA bubble. And as Adam Silver said, if it kind of spreads and there's nothing they could do, at least you gain data, at least you gain information. And hopefully you're obviously able to do that without anybody, you know, getting hurt in the process. But I have to imagine every business out there, every corporation out there, every sport out there is eventually going to try to play their sport. That's my view on it. And I think right now what we're seeing, I mentioned, I'll continue to mention, Seattle and San Jose, this MLS tournament, soccer is the first one to come back, right? Major League Baseball, we were talking about it yesterday. 2 weeks from yesterday is the start of the San Francisco Giants versus the Los Angeles Dodgers, and that's going to be the start of Major League Baseball. We're going to learn a lot, and I think every business out there and every kind of individual, and you know, you could say every person out there is continuing to learn what you can do, what you can't do, what's the safest route, what's not the safest route. But I think if you sit around and you do nothing, I'm not sure if you're going to learn by doing that. And I appreciate what all these sports are trying to do. The college football one is tougher for me. College athletics is tougher for me just because they're student athletes. So we'll take some of your guys' phone calls when we come back. The question is very simple. Do you want to see college football back this this fall? Do you think they should try to play football or no? We're talking about college athletics. We're talking about student athletes. Let's turn the page. Let's not pay attention to this. And let's just let the professional sports try and return. 877-710-ESPN. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, so that's the big news for right now. Pac-12 joining the Big Ten as far as doing an in-conference schedule only. So for those that, you know, obviously driving around, USC fans, UCLA fans listening on the app or on 710, it's kind of an interesting predicament and situation, but it is what it is. So that means USC won't take on Notre Dame. They won't take on USC, or they won't take on Alabama. So obviously those are two humongous games for USC, but that's not going to happen. And that seems to be the theme with – it's going to be the theme in college football, period. You know, I think everybody already knows and understands that if college football is going to happen, it's going to happen under completely different circumstances than we're accustomed to. So definitely get used to it on that front. Okay, so yesterday, last night after the show, just scrolling through Twitter – scrolling through Instagram. I didn't even have to go to Instagram. I just scrolled through Twitter. Curtis, who do you think dominated the headlines yesterday on social media?
Oh, I know who dominated because I was right there with you watching him too.
Everywhere I turned, it was J.R. Smith. Everywhere I turned, it was J.R. Smith.
The walking meme, I told you.
And by the way, some of the stuff was pretty fun. I mean, the part where he's he's looking at his bed and he's saying, "Where's my blanket?" Like, as in they forgot his blanket. That's pretty funny. The moment he actually finds his blanket, he's like, "Yeah, LeBron and AD don't have this." It's pretty comical. Let me just say this about J.R. Smith. It was nice to hear Kendrick Perkins on Mason and Ireland just kind of say, "Look, he's a great teammate. The guy's going to make it happen. He's even a better guy." Because the way I've been promoting J.R. Smith, you know, this entire time was J.R. Smith. Hey, this is his opportunity. Very similar to Dwight Howard. Dwight Howard was going to come in. He understands how important this opportunity is, what his role is going to be and everything else. And yesterday it looked like J.R. Smith was just very, very happy to be around people again. He was very, very happy to be, on social media again. And he definitely took advantage of all that. So Jess, it is, listen, The dude's comical. Don't get me wrong. He's comical. But if that's the guy that replaced Avery Bradley, there's a big difference in personalities between the, those two players. I don't think I heard more than three sentences from Avery Bradley all year. J.R. Smith yesterday put together a short story, a short movie.
Oh, yeah. The best part was at the end where he's like, "I got a text. I said too much."
Bro, he got in trouble. Bad. The way he said it and the sound in his voice was the principal basically said, hey, that's enough. By the way, I don't know who the principal is. Was it LeBron sending him a text and saying,
Pete, that's going to be the conspiracy theory.
You
got to
stop
was
right
it?
Now. Was it Coach Vogel that said, listen, buddy, you just got here 14 minutes ago. Let's relax with your IG and everything else that you're doing. Or, you know, he's going live. But man, what a freaking difference of personalities between Avery Bradley and J.R. Smith. John said it best earlier that it's great for, you know, what we do, because so much of the time, and don't get me wrong, I watch Lakers basketball and I'm not joking around. Like, I want to see the Lakers win. And when you see players, you know, where you feel like, okay, they don't care as much as you do, as a fan, you're like, no, you should care more. But at the same time, J.R. Smith, here we are 3 weeks away from the regular season starting again, added some great, you know, he took, like, I guess you could say, what's the right word I'm looking for? Kind of lighten things up a little bit, you know, lighten the mood up a little bit. And
the comic relief.
Yeah, a little bit of comic relief. So that's our first, that's our second impression of J.R. Smith. He did do that Zoom call earlier in the week, and then this was J.R. Smith. So Lakers are in Orlando.
Give me more J.R. Smith. Just give me more.
I don't think you have a choice. You're going to get more J.R. Smith. Actually, I don't know. Again,
I don't know.
When he got in trouble yesterday,
it sounded like he was in trouble. Like, it wasn't J.R. Smith. It was whatever his full name Smith is, you know.
His voice. I mean, he sounded like he was a little depressed. Like, guys, the game is over. I got to go to bed.
The way I look at it, we got our Nick Young back.
Okay, let me
ain't
go at this.
No one's ever going to be Swaggy P.
Let me go at this. I'm not a big fan of that. Like, the Lakers do have this incredible opportunity to win a championship. Those years where Nick Young was on the team and he was walking backwards with his hands up thinking he hit a three and he didn't hit it.
The bounce out.
Right. Oh, and then that post game conference, who was it? Who was all in there? I think maybe they were interviewing Jeremy Lin. Lakers had, like, I don't know how many wins on the season, but I could probably count them on one hand.
About eight.
Right. And like, that's not good. Like, no Laker fan wants that basketball. So as long as J.R. Smith, I went from lightening it up to being serious. As long as J.R. Smith, when practice starts and when the game starts, cares as much about winning an NBA championship as every other player on this Lakers roster and every other Laker fan, then I'm good. What you don't want to see is that the guy is kind of clowning around, which I don't think he will. Like, I really don't. I think once push comes to shove, he will be he'll be ready to go. Okay, I got some sound from First Take that I want to play. So Kellerman, we're going to continue to use this word, cautiously optimistic. By the way, congrats to Max Kellerman. He'll have a national show, it sounds like, for a couple hours. Kellerman, you know, we worked with for a number of years. I had a great relationship with him. He's fantastic. One of the best, I think, in radio. So here's Kellerman. We're going to use that term again. Remains cautiously optimistic that the NBA will finish the season, but he's got a lot of confidence what the NBA is just doing in general. So here's Kellerman a little bit earlier today.
I think that the NBA season's going to start. I believe they will crown a champion. I believe they're going to get through their postseason and crown a champion. I was always cautiously optimistic about the NBA, but it's precisely because Adam Silver has had such a sober view of what's going on that I'm optimistic. There's a bubble. It's a central location. There aren't as much personnel on an NBA squad because there are fewer players than baseball or football. You need less support staff as a result. You can't bring your family in there right away. There's multiple tests, etc., etc. Even then, they're now in a hot spot of COVID, right? DeSantis has been disastrous down there, the governor, and he wants to reopen schools before it's time, and he's following the lead of some even less responsible people than him in the federal government. You probably know who I'm referring to. And as a result, they're actually in a COVID hotspot. So even with all the precautions they're taking, the reason I have confidence that the NBA, I'm cautiously optimistic, they're not only going to start, they're going to get through the regular season and their postseason and crown a champion eventually, even if there's some delays, is because Adam Silver and the Players Union have a sober approach. In other words, when you realize anything's possible here, we may have to stop. We're going to have to do things very differently. This is going to cost us money. Forget fans. Like, the NBA's been out in front of it. So that gives me confidence.
One of the things I talked about yesterday, that was Max Kellerman from First Take, but I was mentioning this yesterday because we are all watching what's happening with MLS first, right? They're the first one to come back, so there's a lot of curiosity to how things are working. I'm watching a game right now. I was watching a couple days ago, Seattle versus San Jose going on tonight. Our curiosity is, will MLS be able to put this thing together? Okay, well, we found out Nashville and Dallas pulled out of this tournament. 26 teams in this tournament, now down to 24. It has nothing to do with being eliminated. They were eliminated because of COVID-19. One of the points I was making yesterday, when I was having a nice conversation with Om Youngmasuk, was, Om, I think one of the things that the NBA, yes, there's reasons why the NBA gave themselves such a long leeway of when the regular season starts back up again. It's not just because of COVID, but it's also because these players have been off for 4 months. NBA players, they're running up and down the floor. You want to try and prevent as best as you can injuries. That's why you also have 8 regular season games. They're going to have a couple scrimmages. So there is this this leeway that the NBA has for that. But there's also another leeway. The other leeway is, if somebody tests positive with COVID-19 and they have to sit out for 2 weeks or 7 to 10 days or whatever the case is, the season doesn't start tomorrow. And now that every team is in Orlando, and I hear Kellerman talking about, you know, he's confident because it's Adam Silver in the NBA, because it's Michelle Roberts and Chris Paul from the Players Union, that is the right reason to be confident. Everything they've done this entire way, I'm not saying it's perfect, and I'm not saying it's going to work, but damn, you have to respect how we are getting at least closer to, you know, getting the season restarted, and that people are cautiously optimistic that they'll be able to get it done. One more clip that I do want to play. Malika Andrews, she's a ESPN NBA reporter. So weird, too. By the way, she was on SportsCenter from inside the Orlando campus. It's still kind of something to get accustomed to. She's reporting. She's got the mask on. That's how she is reporting. She's in this ballroom wherever they are in Orlando. That's where these courts are being, you know, obviously brought in. Here's Malika Andrews giving kind of some more details of the NBA's protocols for full-scale practices.
The basketball looks similar, but the protocols surrounding it look a whole lot different. So when I was in the practice court yesterday, you could see that there are chairs that are set up around the edges of the court that are set 6 feet apart. So even though players on the court are not having to maintain any social distance, immediately afterwards, they're asked, when they are cooling off, when they're getting ice, to be sitting in those chairs that are distant. But even on top of that, when players who are staying at a different hotel have to leave to go to a different building to practice, they're asked to scan their magic bands and have their temperature taken every time they want to walk in somewhere different. And also remember that there are no longer locker rooms for players to shower off in. That's a hygiene issue. So they're having to leave and go back to their hotel rooms to do that. But even all of those things considered, Nikola Vucevic is still saying, you know what, after 48 hours of being in quarantine, it was just good to get back on the court and not be talking to my walls anymore.
All right. It's a whole new world for everybody, and certainly for these NBA players as they get adjusted. Excited to have Brad Turner on. He's coming up next. He's with me from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. So we'll talk a lot of NBA basketball, a lot of Lakers and Clippers. We'll touch on the Dodgers as well. Andrew Freeman was on Mason Island a little bit earlier. We'll also hit on just what's going on with college football here. Like I mentioned, this is a kind of a moving target for college football, especially in the Pac-12. Brad Turner coming up next. Stay right here. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
I appreciate you guys tuning in. Welcoming in Brad Turner from the LA Times. What's going on, BT? How are we doing?
Man, Adam's doing really good, man. When you called, I was talking to Robert Horry. I said, Robert, you don't matter right now. I got Alan on the other line. Get off my phone and leave me alone.
I love it, man. That's awesome. How's Horry doing? He's doing okay?
He's doing good. He was doing really good. He was doing some tequila thing with some other celebrities yesterday. And I said, did you leave any tequila for anybody else? I guess they did it via Zoom. I said, oh, boy, that's a good way to do things. Get drunk at home and don't leave.
That's not bad right there. That's not bad. Safe. Not bad. That's the safe way to do it. Well, BT, thank you for doing this. We'll get a chance to just chop it up, talk as much sports as we can. And okay, this is the first thing that I want to chat with you. So I'm looking at a photo. Last time you and I chatted, Michael Thompson was on the line as well. And you had mentioned that, you know, you were just cooking and you had a game plan of what you're going to make. So let me tell you what I'm looking at right now. I'm looking at probably the crispiest piece of chicken that I could possibly see. Some wild rice, if I'm correct. And I'm looking at a fantastic salad. And BT, that's your text to me and Michael after we got off the air. And you were kind of you kind of had your chest out a little bit, pretty much telling Michael, listen, I don't know how you cook, but this is how I cook. And do you remember Michael's response?
I'm trying to remember. He said something silly that didn't make any sense at all, of course.
All he said was where are the potatoes?
Where the potatoes.
That's what.
Come on, man. Man, are you serious?
Appreciate what you did. All he was looking for was something to complain about with your dish.
You know, when you're Michael Thompson and you don't know how to cook, you can't even scramble eggs. You can't even make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich without burning the toast. I mean, so you hate everyone else. I mean, but right now, this has become my hobby, cooking food.
I love
not much basketball to do or talk about. I've been cooking quite a bit.
So, Brad, is that something you're looking forward to on a night-in, night-out basis? Do you go out and say, all right, this is what I'm going to try tonight? Or do you just go with, like, give me an idea of some of the most recent dishes that you've cooked. And I will tell you on the show, you know, show goes 6:30 to 9. So you can only imagine how many different times we talk about food simply because it's dinner time. You know what I mean? So give me, what have you been cooking lately?
Yes. Well, my last meal I cooked was garlic chicken. And I cooked it in a crock pot. And I did it in a way that I kind of marinated all the ingredients together, you know, first thing I did, how about this? I seared the chicken that was nice and brown. Not very long. It didn't take much time to do it. And so I did it that way. And I took some of the ingredients, like the garlic, obviously salt and pepper. I used some, how about this, some brown sugar.
There you go.
Parsley, a little oregano sauce. I put that in there. And then I threw it in the slow cooker for about 4.5 hours. And let me tell you.
And it just did its thing.
Man, when it came out of there, it just fell off the bone. I was kind of proud of myself. That's weird for me to be proud of myself when I cook something. But this time I was like, wow, this is good.
So Brad, have you always cooked, or is it because we're just where we're at right now and there isn't any sports and you don't find yourself going to Staples Center X amount of times a week or traveling or whatever the case is? Or is this something that literally just kind of you started doing more and more because we're in quarantine?
Yeah, I started doing more and more because of the quarantine. I mean, you have time on your hands. You don't leave home. You know, I'm not someone who wants to go anywhere now, so I plan my meals. I think about what do I want to have this day on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Maybe on a Saturday I'll just have some turkey burger, something simple like that. But because of all the downtime that we have, and because when we do a Zoom with the Lakers, it may be at 12 o'clock, 12:30. You write your story. You have the rest of the day to yourself to do something. And I don't want to be bored. And I have to admit, I have not been bored because I've thought about these meals I'm going to cook after I've done just a little bit of work on the Lakers.
Mm-hmm. You do just enough to get it in, and then you got, you know, the rest
just
of the day.
Just enough. If I'm not doing it, mostly Tanya again, Googly. She does a great job on it with us, the LA Times.
Well, you guys
so
do
I
a
let
great
her
job.
Really do her thing, and I try to help out and give us and our readers more coverage that we can at least give them during these times.
Okay, so Brad, I got a question now. Since we're staying on the food topic, and I've brought this up before. Kirk Morrison, who I do shows with on Tuesday and Wednesday, but I forgot to ask him this. What's your favorite steak in L.A.?
You know, Alan, what's interesting is
are you staying in Pasadena? Oh, you're not. Okay, okay. Because I was going to say Pasadena, which I know that's where you're at.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, so I end up just going to the normal places of Ruth Chris. Mm-hmm. But because of the traveling with the Lakers, and you're eating steaks so much. But
look
I always
you.
Try to limit
Look at BT
to
living the dream.
One steak a month. Oh, I know. You know, so
living
not
the
a
dream.
Big steak. Even when I've done all this cooking the last 3 months, I have not cooked a steak. I have not even thought about buying a steak. For some reason, during the season, you do that a lot. You're on the road. You know, it is 11:30 at night. The game was over. You're done writing the story, and you're hungry. Go get a nice big steak. Well, that ain't good when you wake up in the morning and it's just sitting there.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Brad. Brad Turner from the LA Times. He's with us till 8 o'clock. BT, how long have you been doing this now?
Oof. Man, I was thinking about that myself. Mm-hmm. I think the first time I covered the Lakers, I worked for a weekly newspaper in Pasadena, and it was the year the Lakers finally beat the Boston Celtics.
Is that right?
And that was where they finally beat them, what, in 1985? Is that what it was? Because they lost them in 84, I think. You know, so they beat them in 85, and we kept thinking the Lakers would never, ever beat the Celtics because they hadn't beat that 1 year, and then they had the 1-0 lead. And James Williams threw the cross-court pass that was stolen by, what, Joe Henderson, I believe, going up for the layup, game goes in overtime. The Lakers are tied 1-1 in the series, but they lose the series. And all I thought was, as my friends were all Laker fans, they kept thinking, they can't beat them. It's just not going to happen. So lucky me, I'm working for this weekly newspaper.
Is that paper still there, like that small publisher, or they've been gone for a while?
They've been gone for a while, for quite a long time now. But that was how I sort of broke into the business, working for a weekly newspaper. And somehow I got lucky to cover the Lakers because of this guy named Michael Cooper, who was from Pasadena. And I had known him from high school days. And he took good care of me, this young kid, trying to play basketball. Because of him, I was able to come to all the games at home. Didn't travel. But it was still, think about this, man. Alan,
that's unbelievable. At the Great Western Forum, are you kidding me?
Whew, man, yeah, it's been a fun time, man. It's been an incredible time for my career.
BT, so, I don't know if miss it is the right word, but here we are. You're accustomed to this. You're accustomed to traveling all the time, flying, staying in hotels, watching obviously these basketball games, covering these athletes, covering the coaches, the GMs. And it's actually, I'll ask you about this a little bit later. I love actually observing people like you who's got these just incredible relationships in the industry and with these teams and everything else. But how much do you miss it right now? Or is it kind of a nice break? Like, I have no idea. Like, how do you feel? Do you miss going to Staples and traveling, or is it kind of, it is what it is, I'm just going to embrace where I'm at?
No, the time where I think here it is, what, July 10th? Most likely we'd all be in Las Vegas at the Summer League. So I put that date down. The season would have been over. The Lakers may have won the NBA championship. They would have had a parade. So now they're in Las Vegas having a Summer League for their rookies, whoever they would have drafted, and they would have been working on free agency.
Sure.
Those thoughts always in my mind for some reason. It had been, would AD have signed an extension? Would he have just opted into his contract? Who else would they have signed this summer? Would they have made some trades? That's the time frame I'm thinking of right now. Not that the Lakers and 22 teams are in Orlando about to start playing basketball again. It's kind of weird to have those thoughts, really, to think, man, right now we would be in Las Vegas watching some basketball, and I'd also, Alan, I would be preparing for my trip to go to Patty France.
You go every year, right?
I go every year. This year, it just ain't going to happen.
Yeah, is that, by the way, I mean, you know, just because we're living in this world right now, Everything is so different. Dawned on me, and I know that, you know, it shouldn't, but it's the reality. A little bit earlier today, I was at REI, and I was taking some stuff back, and I wanted to pick up something. So I'm at REI, and I'm just sitting there at the cashier, and here is this plexiglass in front of me, right? And then to the left of me, there's another plexiglass, and everybody in the store, of course, has their mask on. And to my left is hand sanitizer. There's a note on there. Be careful when you push, you know, like, every once in a while you stop for a second and you just try to kind of think of, is this the way it is now? Like, are we going to look at the way it used to be and just that's not the norm anymore? Kind of a trip, BT. It really is.
Are you kidding me? Every time I go to the grocery store to shop for my groceries so I can cook a nice meal, the first thing you do is you grab a basket and they tell you it's been cleaned, it's been sanitized, and then they give you the hand sanitizer that you wipe your hands with. And I always thank them and I realize, man, this is the new norm. Mm-hmm. Well, how long will it be this way? Will there always be the hand sanitizers? Will we always be washing our hands? Of course we should, but how long can this last? Will we stick with this? Will we be wearing masks for the next year, the year and a half, 2 years?
Sure.
If we fly somewhere, will we always be wearing a mask to go someplace? No, those are questions that I always ask myself as well, and I wonder about that. Is that the new norm to wear a mask everywhere you go? If you go to the bank, you're wearing a mask. If you go to the store, you're wearing a mask. If you go to an outdoor restaurant, you have one on. Is that what we're up against right now? And it looks right now, we are. How long will this last? No one knows.
All right, Brad. Brad Turner from the LA Times joining the Sleepy Show. He'll be with me till 8 o'clock tonight. BT, let's do this when we come back. Let's talk. Let's talk a little bit of basketball. I want to get your honest opinion between the Lakers and the Clippers. I mean, this is just making out to be. Just an unbelievable matchup. I mean, if you're a diehard Laker fan, of course you're thinking, man, you know, this Clippers matchup, that's going to be a tough one. If you're a Clippers fan, you're thinking the same thing about the Lakers. Let's talk a little bit about what this Lakers-Clippers matchup could potentially be, what it would mean. And then I also got an idea that I want to throw your way on how fans could potentially interact. This is an idea that's been floated around a couple different times at the station, so I want to get your thoughts on that.
Cool.
We'll do all that coming up next. Alan Sliwa, Brad Turner, stay right here, 710 ESPN. All right, it's a pleasure to have Brad Turner from the LA Times hanging out till 8 o'clock. Hopefully, BT, this didn't take away from your dinner cooking. We all know that you're a chef inside the kitchen.
Not a cooking, but a nice glass of wine, though, Alan. So
okay, okay. That's right. Hey, don't worry. Go ahead. You can mix that wine right now. We have breaks in between. You're okay.
Okay, good to know.
Okay, so Brad, as we get closer to this, before we talk Lakers Clippers, before we talk what this bubble is going to look like and everything else, the structure, how we think that matchup's going to be. How do you feel right now? How do you feel that the way the NBA is set up and the way this thing is structured, that we'll get an opportunity this year to actually crown a champ? I mean, I know this is unprecedented, and to have gone almost 4 months now without basketball, and then all of a sudden, you know, everything's just going to get restarted. How are you feeling about where we're sitting? And all these teams now are in Orlando and, you know, not too far away from beginning practice and training camp.
You know, Alan, I still feel a little uneasy. Mm-hmm. Only because all the players that do plan on playing are not there yet. They haven't arrived for whatever reason. Some of the cases, like Kawhi Leonard, is supposed to arrive tonight. For the Clippers, you have J. Michael Green with the Clippers, who had, you know, a family issue to deal with. And until they take that first test, which they all took the night they arrived, and then we get the results from the NBA telling us that hopefully no one tested positive, but that seems to be something that's impossible.
Sure.
Until we get those first results. That one, you know, I don't know how I feel about that, because they would have only been in a bubble for, I mean, I think the guys got their test as soon as they arrived. Now, when they take their second test, after they have been in a bubble, then is when I start wondering, how does that work if you say 5, 6, seven guys tested positive because you
would have been. That means the virus is in.
You've been there for a while. You have been quarantined for those at least 36 hours. That becomes an issue that they have to deal with. And it just seems to be unavoidable. I mean, it's just, I mean, what, we had two of the soccer teams from MLS.
Unbelievable.
Sent home.
Nashville in Orlando. Nashville and Dallas, yep.
Yes. I mean, so that's the scary part, is just the unknown. No matter what you try, it's not foolproof. You just don't know what will happen. You hope everyone's safe. Your hope is zero. But zero just seems to be an impossibility. And that's why I'm so uneasy so far.
Well, Brad, I'll say this. Well, okay, actually, let me ask you a question. I don't know if you know the answer to this. So everybody gets to Orlando. They quarantine, right? And so you said they have to have negative tests, one or two, you said, negative tests before, being able to practice and everything else.
I don't remember that for sure. Well, I know they took the first test. Some teams arrived on Tuesday.
Right,
arrived
right.
on Wednesday. In the case of the Lakers, it was on Thursday. So as soon as they arrived, they took the test. What I'm saying is when they take the second test, that's the one I want to see.
Does everybody take it at the same time?
Well, that's a good question, because they arrive, at different times. So they might have teams. So, I mean, you take it every other day, if I'm understanding it correctly.
Yeah, that is how they do it.
If your team got there on Tuesday, you took it on Tuesday night, and you probably took another one on Thursday. Mm-hmm. The Lakers took theirs Thursday night. They had the day off, the 36 hours of quarantine. Tomorrow they practice.
So they'll get tested. There'll be another one. Mm-hmm.
Be another one, right? So if you continue doing these tests, and I mean, you're hearing stories about people taking a test and it comes back negative. They take the test again, it comes back negative. They take another test and it comes back positive. And they can't quite understand why and how, when they've done nothing different. In this case, all of the players are in the bubble. If someone comes up testing positive, you have to wonder what happened. Then you start the tracing. You start talking to all the guys, and you try to figure out, who have you been around?
Sure.
They may say, I've been in my room only, except that you've been to practice at least once so far. So if you've been to practice, have you been around a coach? You've been around one of your teammates? Been around the medical staff? Those are a lot of concerns I have, but I hope it works out. I mean, I really have my fingers crossed that this works out and there are no problems.
So, Brad, you mentioned I was talking about this a little bit yesterday, and I actually teased that I was going to chat with you about this as well. But so yesterday, we're talking about Nashville and FC Dallas that are now out of this MLS tournament.
Yeah.
And you had 26 teams, you're down to 24. The two teams that are out, they're eliminated because of COVID-19. The one thing that I think is so much different from the NBA, Nashville got to this Orlando bubble on July 3rd. Okay. They gave themselves, I think, just a week. I mean, the tournament started 5 days later. So the reason why I mentioned that is, if there's one advantage the NBA has, they have this about a three week leeway, right? They kind of gave themselves that much time that if somebody does test positive, then the whole team doesn't have to pull out, or whatever the case is. I think that's, when I look at it that way, and I know it's not just because of COVID-19 and for testing, they also need these players to ramp up. I mean, you need a training camp, you need scrimmages. This is how it's going to be for the NBA. These guys got to get back into shape and everything else. But that's the big difference, I think, between the NBA bubble and the MLS bubble.
Yes.
MLS, you had some teams get there within a 7-day period. The tournament already started. Some teams got there within a 5-day period, where the NBA, at least, there's more of a runway.
Well, let's not forget this. The NBA is very, very big, big money.
Sure.
A lot more than soccer is.
Mm-hmm.
And we know that people want to watch this. And I'm sure, I think soccer played a couple games in MLS, whereas in the NBA, teams have played upwards of 60, 63 games. So they were already, playing games. They were in our conscience. And teams and players were being tested before they arrived down to Orlando. So that was another thing the NBA did that was smart. And you're right.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're giving them time that if someone does test positive, that you won't have the entire team, hopefully, sitting out because they don't start playing. The scrimmages are coming up pretty soon in about, 12 days? But you don't start playing that first game until July the 30th, the first regular season game. So there's enough time there to hopefully have these guys test positive again if they happen to test. And if they test positive, they have enough time to hopefully test negative over, you know, 2 or 3 weeks.
And BT, you know, worst case scenario, postseason doesn't start until mid-August anyways, right? So even if you're not part of every regular season game, you know, you kind of have a little bit of that luxury as well. Brad Turner from the LA Times joining the Sliwa Show. He'll be with us till 8 o'clock tonight, so co-hosting with me tonight. So BT, looking at now, let's, you know, maybe we could talk a little bit of basketball here. We got Lakers and the Clippers. Those are the two teams that, first of all, we've never had these two teams cross paths in the postseason, so that's unique in itself. And now you just kind of start adding all these other elements that come into play. The Lakers' best record in the Western Conference, does it really matter at this point when you're going to, you know, obviously Orlando, where there isn't going to be fans? You have a Clippers team that there's no, I mean, I don't care if, you know, you could be the biggest Laker fan in the world. If you're not giving credit to what the Clippers have and the threat of the Clippers, you know, coming out of the West, you're not just paying attention. You're being too much of a homer. So with all that being said, how do you look at this matchup, you know, between these two teams? I know I could talk about Lakers and the eighth seed and everything else, who they're going to play. But just looking at the Lakers and the Clippers, What do you think are going to be some of the Lakers' biggest strengths and then also some of the Clippers' biggest strengths when these two go up against each other? If they go up against each other.
Laker fans are homers, okay? That's why they're Laker fans.
And they shoot. I'm a homer. Listen, I'm a homer. But I could also be real at the same time, you know what I mean?
You know what I mean? You know, I'm going to say the Lakers' biggest strength is having LeBron James and AD. Mm-hmm. That's probably two. And the other thing is the camaraderie that they built and the chemistry that they built. If there's a weakness that I see right now, it's not having Avery Bradley. I think that can hurt them throughout the course of this. If they just can't make up for the defense and the way he plays it. And the Clippers understand that. They know that. That's something that they, based on what I've been told, they've talked about that. Without Avery being there, that takes away a little bit that the Clippers were having to deal with. I mean, the guy picks everyone full court, you know, so that, and he harasses players, and he was making his shot. That was something else that was going, that was sort of been ignored, that the last couple of games he was scoring pretty well. As far as the Clippers, the strength is they have.
Can we stay before? BT, before we move on in this, we're going to go to commercial break. Okay. Let's stay on Avery Bradley for a second because somebody took his spot, and that person is J.R. Smith. And let's just say J.R. Smith looks like he's having a great time in the bubble. All right, just to get things going, just to get things started. Looks like J.R. Smith's making himself very much at home. So when we come back, let's chat a little bit about J.R. Smith technically replacing Avery Bradley. That scares me a little bit. And then we'll get into what you think some of those strengths are for the Clippers. So we'll do all that coming up next.
Absolutely.
Got the man, Brad Turner, joining us on the Sliwa Show tonight from the LA Times. We'll be right back. If you want to call in and be a part of the show, you're always welcome to do that. 877-710-ESPN. This is the Sliwa Show on 710 ESPN.